8:47, back with Rich and Ryan in the morning, now joined by our dear representative from District 58A, Madam Christy Purcell. Good morning, Christy. Oh, yeah, I should probably turn your mic on first. That would help.
Good morning, Rich. Not my first rodeo.
No.
Going into my second term, I know about the button you have to push so that people can hear me.
You know all about this stuff. Hey, it's good to see you. And there's a question that I've been dying to ask you for the last, like, 10 days. And that question is, what the hell is going on? But before we get there, I want to just talk real quick about you have been reelected. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're heading into the second term.
Sophomore.
And you are now sort of part of the DFL leadership. Is that right? How's that work?
So there's a, well, in a tie, the titles have changed a little, but we have a speaker designate in Melissa Hortman. She's been the Speaker of the House the last 6 years, longest serving female in that role in state history. And then instead of a majority leader or a minority leader, because we have neither, we have a DFL floor leader, Jamie Long, and then we have a DFL whip, again, used to be a minority or a majority title. And the whip kind of just like what's called whips votes. So like makes sure that we have the votes for the correct things. And that's a lot. We're 67 members. That's a lot for one person. And so basically then we have elected these assistant leaders, of which I am one of six. And the assistant leaders kind of take over. Like I have eight people like in my whip group. So before we do a thing, I touch base with all eight of those people to say, hey, do you know that this is happening? Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns? You know, making sure if there are questions or concerns, I put that up the chain to leadership.
What is whip?
Whip it good.
Yeah. they call it a whip because calling it a hammer and an anvil would be impolite.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this term comes from. They use this in the federal level too, but it's just like basically like a vote tallier, like to make sure that we have the vote. So before anything comes to the floor, we want to make sure we have enough votes to pass it. And that's going to be a question this year because neither party has a majority. But last year, I mean, the 2 years I have of experience, we had 70 Democrats and we needed 68 votes to pass something. So we wanted to make sure that if there were people, you know, not going to vote for whatever was coming up on the floor, it wasn't more than two, because then we would not have enough votes to pass it. And so the whip is like, I don't know if it has this like negative connotation times of old of like, you're going to get in line and you're going to vote for this. I don't think of it in that way today. I think of it more as like, hey, how you doing? Are you comfortable with this? What are your concerns? You know, how are you voting? But it's basically like a vote counter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But nice. It's called a whip.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever tell you, you got to lean on somebody and get them to change your vote? Well, you haven't done this.
I haven't done it. I mean, basically what the role has involved so far is like, hey, we all need to show up to caucus, which is a time where we all like get together and talk. And because we're not at the Capitol, because we're still in interim, it's like texting my eight people. Hey, did you see the email that, you know, come on Zoom at this time? And we got, you know, we got stuff to talk about. And so that's more what it's been so far. I have heard the phrase used, herding cats, which I think that's part of it too, which is why we're not asking our whip, Athena Hollins, to do all of that for 67 people. So for me to do it for eight is like
they're coming to you because you have young boys and she's got these skills. So
that's true. There are several moms in the group. Right? There's one dad of small children at home currently.
There it is.
So yeah, there's
there it is.
Yeah. We've got that experience.
Okay, so back to the topic du jour. What the hell is going on?
So it's so interesting. I mean, I guess this is not uncommon for lots of like posturing before a session or during. I mean, I remember 2 years ago when the federal House was trying to elect a speaker. I don't know how many ballots they went.
Oh yeah, that through. Was the Matt Gaetz. I can't remember the Kevin McCarthy thing. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So they went through like 11 ballots to try to. They had to like adjourn, come back the next day, and then we were being sworn in and elected a speaker on the first ballot. But there's a lot of confusion about what happens in St. Paul, where I work as the state representative, versus what's happening on the federal level, right, which is Angie Craig is our representative in Washington, D.C., our congresswoman. Mm-hmm. So, but basically, I guess the simplest way that I'm thinking about it is differing views on what makes a quorum, mm-hmm, or what makes a majority. And again, this is a weird jargony word, but a quorum is like you need enough people in the room to conduct your business. Mm-hmm. And so a quorum is 50% plus one. Mm. And the way that the Minnesota Constitution has been interpreted and has been executed for the longevity of our state is called the majority view of quorum, which is there are 134 seats in the body. Mm-hmm. And so 50% is 67, 50% plus one is 68. Mm-hmm. That is a quorum. That is a majority.
This is the amount of people that you need to enact.
Conduct business. To do anything.
To do your job.
Yes.
Okay.
So like the beginning of each committee hearing, if we don't have quorum, we start the meeting and we have to say a quorum is not present. And if someone is late and they get their butt in the seat and then they arrive and then we say a quorum is present, we may now conduct business. Let's, you know, approve the minutes from last time, et cetera. But until that moment, it's an informational meeting. It's not a committee hearing. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the House. You can't pass a committee report. You can't introduce bills to the I forget what it's called, but like the give them a number. You can't do anything without a quorum. Now, in the federal House of Representatives, in Congress, they take the minority view of quorum, which is how many people are there today. It's more like my friend Andy used this analogy. It's like a pickup game of basketball at the Y. Mm. It's like, oh, we got 10 people. Well, let's play 4-on-4 so we have some subs. So it's like, okay, well, if there are only 133 people, well, then quorum is 67. But that's not how the Minnesota Constitution has ever interpreted quorum.
Yeah.
So right now, it seems like the main conflict is what Democrats define as a quorum, which is 68, and what Republicans define as a quorum. Actually, they haven't even said majority or quorum because they know they don't have it.
Right.
What they have said is organizational majority.
Right.
Because they have a plurality, which is one more person than we do.
Right.
Because of a special election. And if you want to see the history about the two court cases, one which is still pending in Shakopee. Mm-hmm. But basically, the Republicans have said, regardless of what the court case says in Shakopee, they're not going to seat Brad Tapke, who won by 14 votes.
Yeah.
We seated a member of theirs, Scraba, from northern Minnesota, northeast Minnesota. We seated him when he won by 15 votes 2 years ago. So it's an inconsistency in how we do business in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, our speaker designate, Melissa Hortman, who's a lawyer, our floor leader, Jamie Long, who's a lawyer. Melissa's been in the House for 20 years. Mm-hmm. She's just like, this is, why would we interpret it any different than we have for the last 200 plus years?
Yeah. The whole thing is really frustrating.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, because, yes. All right, let's back up. Who gets to rule on this? How do we come to a decision on what exactly is, how we're going to proceed on this?
The quote that the speaker used at the press conference on Monday was, "The repository for information is in the chief clerk, Patrick Duffy Murphy, who's done this job for 35 or 40 years.
Okay,
he is clear on the interpretation of the Constitution, and the presiding officer on Tuesday who will gavel the House back in is Secretary of State Steve Simon.
Yes. That's a tough thing to say, by the way. Secretary of State Steve Simon.
It's true.
What is that figurative language where the letters repeat?
It's an alliteration.
Yeah.
But it's almost a tongue twister because of the T's.
Yes, yeah, it really true. Is.
Anyway.
And he served in the House.
Yep.
I don't remember if he's a lawyer, but anyway, it's like scholars are clear about the current moment and what is the reason why the Democrats are threatening to not come into work next week is because we've heard the Republicans just say point blank, we're not going to seat Brad Tabke. It's not just, oh, we're waiting on the result of a special election, which will be January 28th in the northern suburbs. And that's not even what they're saying. They're saying, well, we're probably going to lose that, but what we're not going to do is seat Brad Tabke, which who won his election. It has been such trauma for his family. I mean, he's a guy, he won in 2018. He lost in 2020. Mm-hmm. He won in 22. And now, you know, winning by 14 votes. It's tricky because Shakopee, there's 20 ballots that
they lost them.
Are lost.
Yeah.
Presumably destroyed, you know, recycled, whatever happened to them. And of course, there's conspiracy theories going around. But in the trial, six people testified that they voted for Brad's opponent. Six people testified they voted for Brad beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, they were sort of questioning, like, are you sure? And the audio I heard, one woman was like, I had his sign in my yard. Like, I am sure I voted for so Brad Tabke.
They know. I didn't realize that. Yep. They know whose 20 ballots they lost.
They sure do.
And, interesting.
And so six people testified to say, I voted for Tabke. And so there's no mathematical way. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. But even then, we had six people say under oath, and the Republicans are still saying, nope, we want a special election. And then try to win that election.
And this is in court right now, right?
It's done. The case is done, but we haven't had the ruling.
The ruling is not. Okay.
So question. If the Republicans don't seat and show up to work, basically, but they're still getting paid, correct?
So it's the Democrats who are threatening to not show.
I flipped that around. So, yeah, how does that work with, like, salaries and stuff? Like, people, if they're just not showing up to work, but they're still getting a salary?
So I'm doing work. Like, yesterday I met with the mm-hmm. police chief in Northfield, the new mayor of Northfield, the city administrator of Northfield. Today I'm mm-hmm. here in the radio station. Mm-hmm. I have a Zoom meeting later today, a meeting with constituents. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of other things you do outside of your sessions.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is like a teacher salary. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get paid throughout the course of the year, even though quote unquote, it's a part-time job.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to continue doing the work regardless of if I have to add an hour commute each way to St. Paul. Mm-hmm. Or not, or whether, you know, I'm working from home.
Yep.
That work continues, and emailing the reviser and getting bills drafted, and working with my Senate colleagues for the authors over there for bills, and you know, so there's plenty of work to do that I don't have to be in St. Paul, and stand by idly while Republicans try to deal an election.
Right. You're still going to do what you were put in place to do, and you're going to keep working for your people. And I think that's great because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And like, I will say the thing that financially I won't get is the per diem. So but that's the thing that makes this job a livable wage for me.
Right.
So we have kind of likened this conversation about not showing up to St. Paul as like going on strike.
Yeah.
So it is like, it is absolutely a financial hardship that some of us feel more acutely than others just because of our life situations. Mm-hmm. And so that $86 a day, we won't be able to collect, which makes sense. However, that is a hardship.
Right.
And the thing is, if the House cannot organize because they don't even have quorum. Mm-hmm. Republicans can't get their per diem either.
Right.
Like, because just the mm-hmm. rules for this next session can't be set up. We mm-hmm. won't have a sergeant at arms elected to, like, ask to go retrieve the members. Like, none of that can happen yeah. if we don't show up the very first day. And I think at the last month, Republicans in Michigan didn't show up mm-hmm. and to deny a quorum. Like, we're not asking people to go to the Capitol and have a violent insurrection. It was right. so interesting to have our press conferences on January 6th, yeah. 4 years after we saw political leaders literally asking for violence on that day. Right. And we're not doing that. We are using parliamentary procedures, which are mm-hmm. fully within the rights of our job. Right. And actually, you know, if you see something, say something.
Right.
It's part of our job to not go in because mm-hmm. it's wrong. I mean, what they are threatening to do, to not seat a duly elected member who got, you know, the turnout in Shakopee was 21,980 people. Mm-hmm. Like, to disenfranchise almost, you know, the will of almost 22,000 people because mm-hmm. of this 20, you know, absentee ballot right. slip up. It's not ideal, but like, you know what the turnout is for special elections? I mean, it'll maybe be like 5,000 people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I really appreciate your transparency about the salary issue, because I know just from an optics perspective, I'm Absolutely. Sure this is what a lot of people are wondering about, 100%. Thinking about.
Yeah, you're not going to work, right. is what people are looking right. at.
So. And yes. that's why I wanted to highlight it, because it's like, no, there's still a lot of things happening.
Just, and I will, you know. And I will say, like, on that topic, too, mm. so we can claim, I think, 15 days of per diem in all of interim. So between wow. the end of May and the following January, mm-hmm. I promise I have worked more than 15 days over interim. Yeah. But I don't get yeah. paid a dime more.
Right.
And the expectation of our citizen legislators to basically, I mean, maybe there's some parts of the state where the cost of living is more affordable. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you're more than 50 miles from the Capitol, the good taxpayers of Minnesota pay for an apartment mm-hmm. and mileage for those people. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a great deal if you're, you know, up right. in International Falls. Now, someone like me who's 46.9 miles from the Capitol.
Right.
So I do not get housing, nor do I get mileage.
Right.
And the cost of living here does not support a $51,000 a year
salary. No, it does not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I am expected to work year round.
Right.
And it's difficult to find a job where I say, hey, can I sort of sometimes kind of work
yeah.
in the fall every other yeah. year when it's not an election? And like, so it's certainly a hardship.
Yeah, they make it really difficult for people to
certain people
to be in this position, because unless you're otherwise independently wealthier, have the most flexible job in the world, like,
and have a wife at home and don't have kids at home,
right?
I mean, that's historically who has been legislators. And if we truly want to be a representative democracy, I mean, when I talk about this with students, they get it immediately.
Yeah,
that I was like, that place was not built for me. Right. I mean, yeah. we at least have a midnight rule. When we have floor session, we adjourn at midnight. Mm-hmm. Even that, can you imagine if that was your job? It was like, well, you come in at 8 a.m. and you might go till midnight.
Yeah. Oh.
You might not.
You might go till yeah. 3 a.m.
And if you're in the Senate, yeah. you might go until 7 a.m. when yeah. the yeah. next legislative day begins. Mm. So, like, there's just not a lot of allowances for people to have lives or jobs outside right. of this job.
Right.
Okay. I am trying to kind of look at this from the Republican perspective. Please. As well. And I mean, trying to find the logic in this. What the Republicans are saying is, look, this thing starts on the 14th. Whoever is here is here. We cannot seat somebody whose election is in question, at least without a ruling,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if there's the empty seat that
the special election
in Roseville.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Shakopee thing. So looking at all of this, the Republicans are looking at this and saying, well, we have a majority.
They have
right?
They have a plurality.
They have a plurality. You're right. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't see... I mean, it's Steve Simon's job to make a call on this, is it not?
I actually don't know if it's... I mean, he will be the one... This is what happened 2 years ago. You know, we had our families there. It was popping... I didn't have all my family because it was a horrible snowstorm. But, you know, the pomp and circumstance, and he's the one who gavels us in. And the first thing he says is, a quorum is present.
Right.
So I'm assuming he will, you know, gavel in and say a quorum is not present.
Okay.
I don't actually know where the buck stops. Like, if it's the Secretary of State, if it's the chief clerk.
Right.
I don't know that part.
Okay. All right. But the Republicans, what they're saying is this thing starts on the 14th. We've got the plurality regardless.
An organizational majority.
Or the organizational majority. We have to get on with our jobs, basically, is what they're saying. And so we're going to just do this. Mm-hmm. And... you know, they have more votes than the Democrats do. Therefore, they get to do that.
That is their interpretation.
Okay. Okay.
And our interpretation is, you know, neither party has 68. Mm-hmm. And so neither party can go it alone. Mm-hmm. And actually, all business comes to a halt if, you know, one team or the other doesn't show up.
Okay.
And so we're saying... how about we just cut through the BS here and have a power sharing agreement, which was worked on for 60 days post-election. We published committees. I mean, there are things that were actually agreed upon, co-chairs, co-speakership, co-floor leaders, all of those things. And now suddenly, like, whoosh, that's out the window.
All right. Huh. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you can answer or not, but speaking as a frustrated voter.
Yes.
Okay. Christy, it's a budget year.
Mm-hmm.
If the legislative session is starting out like this, how on earth are we supposed to look at you guys and say, oh yeah, no problem. They'll get a budget done by May, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
First
of all, that's part of the tactic.
Yeah.
Of adding to the chaos and the drama. Right now, we have seen, you know, Trumpism and MAGA benefiting from people going, oh, all politicians are corrupt. Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole system is rigged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead of building trust, building relationships amongst people, that is my interest. I have no interest in this grandstanding and drama. Mm-hmm. That is not why I ran for this position, mm-hmm. and that's not why I want to do this work. What I say to people is, like, I'm here for the policy, but I can put up with the politics. Like, I can manage that. It's not my thing. But there's plenty of people, especially people who have been in the minority party the last 6 years, they're not used to building anything. They've been in the minority. They're just used to bomb throwing. Mm. And this is another, like, chance to throw a bomb to then say, look, you know, you shouldn't have faith in our system and everybody's corrupt and everybody, you know, pointing the finger. And it's like, well, if my choices are to either go along with that, which I fundamentally disagree with, mm-hmm. and that's the, you know, going on strike next week to say, absolutely not, we can do better. Excuse me, it is a budget year. Certainly the first few weeks when I came in 2 years ago, there was a lot of overviews and the agencies would come in and talk about what they do, you know, orientation for the new members, mm-hmm. which is helpful. But I think we can still get our work done again if both sides can agree that we need each other.
Mm. That, I mean, done.
Yeah.
You said it right there.
Right.
You know.
We do. We do.
Should we expect... other bodies of the organization of the government to get involved? Should we expect the Supreme Court to get involved in this? Does the governor get involved in this?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened. The tie happened one other time, and we don't have enough time to do all the history. The quick and dirty is the election in 1979, and the I guess the election 78, because it was 79, 80. And it was the only other time in Minnesota state history that we've had a tie. And a Democrat had a heart attack. And so was physically unable to come to the floor. And the Republican leader had the opportunity to do the same exact power grab and said it's an exercise in futility. Because he read the Constitution. He saw, you know, we might have a temporary advantage for 2 weeks, but it's not worth tarnishing my reputation to seize power in this moment in a very unfortunate circumstance. Right. And that is not the way that the Republican Party of today has opted to go. So instead, it's this, you know, drama, media frenzy, blah, blah, blah. Sure. Whereas, like, it doesn't have to be this way.
Okay. Big takeaway. I like that.
Okay. So with all of that said, I need to ask you about the fact that you are now a podcaster.
I was a little bit in mostly in 2022 with two other of my first year colleagues. And our podcast is called New Libs on the Block. And the lieutenant governor, who's a big fan of the New Kids on the Block, she was really excited to come on until I told her it was a political podcast and it wasn't about the New Kids, of which she's a big fan. And she said, I'll come on if we can talk about the New Kids on the Block. And I was like, sure, Peggy. Yeah, we can do that. So we released our first episode of our second season yesterday. So Wednesdays, it's going to be weekly now that we'll have podcast drops to just, you know, you can hear more from myself and Breon and Andy about kind of our viewpoint, our take on this particular moment. And we recorded a really lovely hour-long episode to talk about sort of the debrief of the 2024 election at the federal level. And we're just sitting on that. What do y'all say? It's in the can. So we were going to release that yesterday, but because of all of this, we released just a 30-minute kind of, you know, what the heck is going on episode.
All right. And that's available on all the podcast platforms.
All the platforms. Yeah. Please like, subscribe, share, and hopefully gives more context to people from our point of view.
Okay. Yeah. And you will be starting to join us weekly on Fridays.
That's right.
Starting next week.
Yep. Session starts next week.
Either in person or via Zoom. So we'll get to hear, we'll get weekly updates on what's going on and you can give us the inside scoop.
That's the idea. Ask me the hard questions.
I can't wait to ask you the boring questions, like what are you working on?
Oh my gosh, me too.
You know, let's talk about. I know you were way over time, thank you for giving us a little extra time. But real quick, you probably don't even like. It's not even for sure what your committee assignments are.
Well, I know what was agreed upon.
Okay, what was agreed upon?
A month ago, vice chair of the Environment Committee. Co-vice chair of the Environment Committee, the Health Committee. And rules committee. Because something like mileage, it's like everyone should get mileage, I think. If you live 1 mile from the Capitol, cool, you get your 50 cents for the day. Yeah. But if you live not quite 50 miles from the Capitol versus like people get the same. Anyway, so just like I'm hoping little tweaks in the rules committee is possible. But again, all of this is up in the air.
Okay. Representative Christy Purcell, we thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, Rich Ryan and Dash of Logan.
Looking forward to having our weekly conversations.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. There'll be plenty to talk about.
We're definitely going to try and throw in some get-to-know-you stuff for anybody out there who isn't as familiar with Christy yet. We're going to get to know you outside of the Capitol.
She's a deep well. It'll
be fun to put me in the hot seat. That's maybe right. I won't come on Friday.
Okay. Christy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.